Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us today on the show. We'll talk to Buster Olney from ESPN about the Major League Baseball playoffs at 7 o'clock. Then we'll check in with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. That'll happen at 7:30. Then Gary Lezak will give you the forecast, maybe. At 8:05, we are going to chat with Tim Grunhard, who comes in on a special day because he's busy tomorrow. And so Tim Grunhard will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. So he flip-flops with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. And for all the people that bitch and moan through Twitter about Jeff Chedia being on the show, save it until Friday. And you can tweet me at SSJWHB. Then at 9:05, Kevin Ioli will be with us from Yahoo Sports. He, of course, covered the heavyweight fight that we really haven't had a chance to talk too much about between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. A fantastic fight, one of the most exciting fights, maybe in the last 10 or 15 years, certainly in the heavyweight division. There have been great fights, but because of the stage that was on and it was for the heavyweight title, it was awesome. And we had a great time at the social club at our watch party watching Fury Wilder 3. We'll talk to Kevin Ioli about that and ask him what's next for Tyson Fury, what's next for Deontay Wilder, and get his thoughts on what happened on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Then at 9:30, Dion Clisso will preview the weekend in high school football action. You heard some comments from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to start the show. They were, Patrick was talking about the matchup against the Washington football team. And let me tell you, Washington does have a talented defensive line, and they did come into the season with the reputation of being one of the best defenses in the NFL. And a lot of people expected them to take another step forward and, again, be a really, really good defense. And that has not happened so far. And so far be it from me to disagree with Patrick Mahomes, but it ain't that big of a challenge. It's a challenge, but Now, the first game of the season, they did hold the Chargers to 20 in a 20-16 loss. Then the Giants put 30 on them. Or 29. They beat the Giants 30-29. The Bills put 43 on them. The Falcons put 30 on them. And the Saints put 33 on them. So they give up a lot of points. And the Giants, the Falcons, and the Saints, none of those offenses are as good as the Chiefs. The Chargers are a really good offense, and they had their best outing of the year, game one of the season. And the Bills are really good, and the Bills also put up 43 against them. And so, again, the Chiefs should be able to handle Washington on Sunday. And, I mean, you know, you can compare a little bit to the Philadelphia game. I know Philadelphia was able to hang with the Chiefs for a while, but we weren't biting our fingernails with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs took care of business for the most part. Still, they made Jalen Hurts look way better than he is, and they'll probably do that with Taylor Heineke. Although he's been an underrated fantasy quarterback, and he can hurt you with his legs a little bit, but this is not the Chargers. This is not the Bills. This is not the Ravens. This is not the Browns. None of those offenses. And the Washington defense has been super disappointing for many people that thought they would be one of the best defenses in football. So I expect the Chiefs to win by two scores. And the Chiefs, at some point, have to come out and play a clean game. They have not played I don't. I mean, have you feel like they've played their A game yet against anybody?
No.
Have they played their B game? Probably a B game. I mean, I don't know in spots, but it's about damn time for them to come out and look like the two-time defending AFC champs, and I think Washington is a good matchup for them to do that. And so I appreciate Patrick Mahomes praising the Washington defense and the defensive line, but they've been getting work this year. So have the Chiefs defensively, but again, the Chiefs are a better all-around football team than Washington, and so that's what I expect to happen on Sunday at noon.
Yeah, that Washington defense has been leaking points like the NFL's been leaking their emails, you know?
Yeah, wow. I almost went to this game. I was going to go to, because I was going to make the trip to Washington to see the game, but I have prior commitments with the big charity event that I'm hosting on Saturday night. And so, that, you know, that's...
I think you'd be happy you didn't.
If because of the game?
Or dump.
What? Is it?
Yeah. There's so many better stadiums and better environments to go watch the Chiefs play in than Washington.
I was more interested in going to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, the city itself is amazing.
Obviously. It's the nation's capital. There's so much to do and see there.
You know, when I think about going on road trips, and maybe I'll do it backwards, I really don't think too much about the stadium and the games. I'm like, I want to go to a city I haven't been to. And, you know, sadly enough, I've not been to Washington, D.C.
Makes sense. I get that. Completely.
And so I was anxious to go there. Yeah, I mean, like, the game's not scintillating, but, man, would I like to go to Washington, D.C. And I got some friends up there, and so I was going to – it was going to be fun. But I'll be happy just to watch the Chiefs win on television.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll take that. And so looking forward to chatting with Adam Kaplan, getting his thoughts about John Gruden, about the Chiefs' struggles – and about what he expects this weekend. We'll also chat with Tim Grunhardt about all of that, too, like I said, in the 8 o'clock hour. Major League Baseball takes the stage again tonight after an off day. Boy, that was kind of like withdrawal yesterday. We've had so much good baseball action, multiple games every day, and then all of a sudden, cold turkey, nothing. But tonight, center stage, the Dodgers and the Giants, the two best teams in the regular season, 106 wins for the Dodgers, 107 wins for the Giants, and it all comes down to one freaking game between bitter arch rivals. Can you imagine that? Who do you consider the Royals' rival that you dislike the most? Baseball is so different.
It is.
Like, at least for us, like, I mean, you know, bitter rivalries, Giants and Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees. There's terrific rivalries in baseball, but I've just never...
There's like, only a few of them, it seems like.
In my life, like, teams I've really, really hated because I felt like they were a menace to the Royals. The Yankees.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, the Yankees don't consider the Royals their rival, but for a while... Meeting in the playoffs in 76, 77, 78, again in 1980. I mean, that was great. That's what I grew up on, and that's why I dislike the Yankees so much. But, I mean, I don't know, like, what would you compare it to?
The Royals don't have a rival like the Giants and Dodgers have.
But even who is it? Like, who's the team that you would single out in their division?
In the Royals division?
Like, boy, when they play this team, I get pissed off. Man, oh, man. Shut it down.
I don't think there is one.
Right.
I mean, they're all kind of the same.
I really didn't like the White Sox for a while because they beat up our first base coach.
Right, right. Yeah, and the Royals got in a couple scraps with them during that 2015 season, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if they were real scraps, but you know.
Yeah, see, like, when I think about the 2015 season, I think about the Blue Jays and my dislike for the Blue Jays and everything they have in between. That doesn't even register with me, like, what you just said.
Yeah. I just remember that was, like, the game when Ventura got into it with the guy at first base, and Haas after the game said, we got to cut this stuff out and start playing baseball. Like, that's the best thing I can come up with for you. You know, I don't remember through those 2 years any team being like, oh, man, those dang Cleveland Indians or whatever. I just don't.
I mean, I felt that way about the Blue Jays, and I still feel that way about Josh Donaldson, who kept running his mouth and had the entire series on the line with him at the plate and grounded out to Moustakas. You know, he won't ever be able to get away from that one, I can tell you that. Well, I mean, see, you know, I mean, think about the Chiefs in the divisional playoffs. Because we saw it years ago, like important games, right? We saw a Chiefs-Raiders playoff game, or I did, at Arrowhead Stadium, which was a defensive battle where the Chiefs' only touchdown was scored by Fred Jones, who caught a touchdown that was originally called, he was out of the end zone, and then they reviewed it. And I like Fred Jones. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine that, though? Like, well, I mean, the other thing that I have to compare it to, which is something I don't like to think about, was after the 97 season when the Chiefs played the Broncos, and I think most people, you certainly consider them the two best teams in the AFC, but I think most people felt like, okay, whoever wins this game is going to go to the Super Bowl, even though it wasn't the championship game, it was the divisional round. Whoever wins this game is going to go to the Super Bowl and probably win it. I don't know that you could ever put more on a divisional round playoff game than what that was. And it was the boogeyman that haunted us for years and years, John Elway, right? And it was, you know, years and years of playoff frustration under Marty Schottenheimer, and you had him at Arrowhead Stadium, and here it is, here we go. Elway's almost at the end of his career. Maybe if you beat him, he's going to retire, and he's got big teeth and all these things that were going on, right?
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs lost, and so then it was horrible. A horrible memory in my football life. But imagine that now. If the Broncos, you know, if the Broncos could find a quarterback that would.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we might be getting into an era where the Chargers might be the rival. I don't know how
it's hard to, like, it. I mean, now this is going to be good, but of course, they're in the division, and I know people, we love to have fun at the expense of Phillip Rivers, but I've never been able to manufacture that anger.
Yeah,
towards the Chargers. I just don't feel the same way about them that I do about the Broncos.
No history there like we have with the other two.
Yeah, I guess. You're right.
Like, over your life, they've been some great games, and even more recently, it's been a better series between the Chiefs and the Chargers. But it's just never been like that ever since I was a kid. Like, we're playing at Denver this week. Oh my, you know. Remember when they couldn't ever win a Mile High?
Yeah.
Or, hey, it's Raider week. But, you know, the Chargers are fine.
You don't even really know what town the Chargers are in.
Right.
You know, you don't really know what their fan base is or who their fan base is.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a... Now, between Mahomes and the Chargers and Justin Herbert, yeah, that has a chance to be something special over the next 10 years.
Hey, even when the Chargers, they won 5 out of 6 years from 2004 to 2009.
Yeah.
It's like even during, they won our division 5 out of 6 years, and still, like, you don't have that animosity towards them.
That's the right word, animosity. Yeah. I don't. I mean, I don't like them.
You can't really explain it except, you know, and it might be just because the other two teams you despise so much.
But this just fascinates me. That's what I'm talking about. This, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants already hate each other. And they battled all season long.
Yeah.
And the Giants held them off. And, you know, and the Dodgers are like, we won 106 games and we still couldn't effing win the division. And the Giants are like, I'm sure, like the last couple of weeks, we're on pace to win 170 games and we cannot shake this effing team. We can't relax. And so then they meet up in the NLDS. And, of course, it goes 5 games. And so even though I don't have a dog in the fight here, I can't wait to watch just to experience said animosity and just the pressure. And that's going to be great tonight, right? It's just going to be the emotion and everything else.
Pitching matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I always try to compare, like, what would it be like? You know, like, I'm not saying this to make you mad, but like when Missouri and Kansas played at Arrowhead and they were actually playing for something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, the games were big anyway. Yeah. The animosity was, oh, and by the way, whoever wins is going to be number one. You know. Right. You know what that was like in the parking lot, Jake? You were watching things.
Madness.
On fire.
Madness.
You know?
Madness.
I just love when rivalries like this spill into the postseason and then there's even more meaning. And
yeah.
Because you don't want to, you know, like, if you're the Giants, 107 wins, you don't want to have your season end to the Dodgers. It's like anyone but the Dodgers. Please.
2004, I went to see Red Sox Yankees Game 6 in the Bronx when Curt Schilling had the bloody sock game and all that. That
2004, I ate some pizza at the Bronx, and it was very good.
Delicious place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just to see that rivalry in the postseason, you know, right. Like you're talking about. And it was. I mean, I saw three different fights in my section alone, you know. There were.
Is X Factor involved in any of this?
No. All right. These were a little.
I'm sorry. That's it. No more. Jake, that's my fault. I apologize. I made a promise and I intend to keep it.
I don't know if there were any Facebook posts afterwards regarding those fights that I saw.
I don't know. You have to look back.
I didn't know any of those super fans.
Right.
It wasn't my turf, you know?
What is your turf? What do you say?
Lake House.
Yeah. Jake, what's your turf?
The north side of 435.
All of it? Just all of it?
The whole
That's
north
a lot.
Side.
North side of 435 OP.
That's a turf. Lot to claim right there.
That's a big part of OP.
Oh, yeah, huh? I'd say from 103rd in Antioch to 87th in Antioch to Metcalf. Right. That's square.
Anytime I'm in that area from now on, I'm like, hey, I'm on Jake's turf.
Yeah, right, man. Now. That is. That's why I moved back in that turf.
I like that.
That's my turf.
Right.
You're in my turf now.
So I was rooting for the Giants, and just selfishly because I like Logan Webb, and he helped my NL team win it all, baby. The bada bings. Thank you, Logan Webb. But then I found out that, you know, tonight's starting pitcher, Julio Urias, who is, Jake reminds me, who is a Mexican. And my grandfather, if you know the way he loved Fernando Valenzuela, I can only imagine how he would feel about this young man. I found out that he received a congratulations phone call after he won his 20th game from Canelo Alvarez. So I mean, I root against him. What am I? Who, like, who am I?
I see how you could.
And who am I to root against this guy now?
Right.
Did you see that retweet? Did you know that?
No, you just
like right after he won 20. Like, hey, you have a phone call. Who is it?
Hello,
right? It's not the president. It's something better. It's Canelo. Like, hello. See.
Well, it also appears that the town he's from is in Sinaloa, which I learned a lot about during Narcos Mexico.
That's coming back, by the way, very soon. We break when we get the release date on that. Are you caught up on that, Jake? You give me a funny look then.
No, I'm not caught up on it.
On Narcos Mexico? What did you? When did you tap out of that one?
I think I saw. I didn't tap out. I just never caught up. I think I saw. There's been two seasons of Narcos Mexico?
This would be season three, yes.
So I saw first season and then about three episodes into season two, and I just. Too much TV. I need to watch it.
He's from the capital of Sinaloa.
Let's see here.
How many episodes are there? I might be able to.
Oh, November 5th. The final 10 episode season releases November 5th. The third and final season of Narcos Mexico. So. Did you know that was coming out? You got plenty of time.
I need to get back on that. I saw the first season. I didn't see season two.
So I, yeah, I saw episode three. So yeah,
like you saw Pablo Escobar's cameo.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, you got that far. Okay, you're in.
So I have seven more of two. I think I might be able to pull that off before November.
Oh hell yes, you can. That's all. Well, we packed a lot into this first segment, didn't we?
Job well done.
So who are you leaning towards, Dodgers or Giants tonight?
Ooh, man, I don't know.
I guess
Dodgers.
Is that who you want?
I don't know that I care.
You just want to see some drama.
I see a good baseball game. I'm not really rooting for any of these teams. It's funny because like there's this kind of David versus Goliath feel with the Giants. They feel like a little bit of David versus Goliath, but they're a huge market team. They really are.
I mean, look at the moves they made at the
San Francisco
trade deadline.
They're one of the biggest mini markets in the country.
And I still have animosity.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I still hate them.
I do think they have some of the coolest uniforms in baseball.
And one of the coolest stadiums.
And their stadium's incredible. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. But I still hate them.
I still have
some hurt.
So I don't really care. I just want a good game.
I mean, that was a very pivotal time in my life.
Go on.
Did you say pivotal or pitiful? No, I'm just kidding.
Both. Both. Those are some of my last drinks in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, literally. Like, that was like some of the last drinking I ever did.
Was it because of the Giants? Or they?
Maybe you should thank the Giants. Yeah. Maybe you should love the Giants, you know?
Or hate them.
Did the Giants make you drink more, or like after that, I'm done. I can't drink anymore.
I don't know. Maybe Alex Gordon not being sent home made me drink some more.
Mike Jersley.
Yeah. Thanks, Jers. Eh, whatever.
What are we digging that up for?
I'm just saying. I remember.
You got some deep feelings associated with the Giants.
The next day, I traveled to West Point to do a Air Force Army football game, and I just remember how.
I bet you felt great.
No. I mean, I was miserable because I was up all night. I was miserable because I had like.
But then you sleep all day.
Three week hangover, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, and then like one of the ladies I worked with. Like said something to me about the Royals, and my buddy was like, "Can you just leave the guy alone?
Right?
Like, look at him.
Just look at him. You think he needs this from you?"
Murph was standing up for me. Murph, I love Murph.
You think the Chiefs are going through a Super Bowl hangover?
Possibly.
Do they have the looks of it? Do they resemble what you look like at where were you, West Point?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have that? Do they give off that vibe?
They don't have the stink on them yet.
Are you sure they don't? Are you sure they don't have the stink from that Super Bowl loss
on
them?
I'm sure of nothing. I'll tell you.
Right.
That. I'm sure.
You know what? I think they might.
I think
the alcoholic stink of that Super Bowl loss might still be hanging in the air at Arrowhead. Where? Just tell me where you can get this type of analysis. Tell me where you would want to get it.
Nowhere.
Right.
Right here.
They give you things you don't want, and you didn't know you didn't want, and now you're sure of it.
Now you get them.
And back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, Jake. Patrick Mahomes spoke to the media yesterday. And here, and this has been, look. Has the defense played well? No. No, they have not. Has Patrick Mahomes been Patrick Mahomes? You know, for the most part, yes. I thought he was off on Sunday night, and he's thrown more interceptions than we're used to. But I've seen some really stupid things written and said about Patrick Mahomes that are going to make these people that are writing them and saying them look like buttholes by the end of the year. So, is that language too strong?
Nope. I think that's very appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And so I'm about over it. Boy, I saw one guy post something that people finally see Mahomes just an average quarterback with a great supporting cast. I go, you're an idiot. Okay, now what? Now what else? You know.
I'm sorry.
I saw an article I think Rob Parker wrote yesterday. He's got to deal with that Patrick Mahomes is no longer the best quarterback in the league. And blah, 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 blah.
Who's Rob Parker?
Sure.
Peter?
But, and Patrick's part of it, but the biggest reason why the Chiefs are 2-3 is because they continue to turn the football over at an alarming rate, and the defense, oddly enough, refuses to force any turnovers whatsoever. And when they do, Frank Clark says, nope. And so let's hear what Patrick Mahomes has to say about turnovers.
I think first off, you have to look at the coverages that you're facing, seeing the coverages, being able to recognize those things. And then kind of once you do that, you can slow things down. Then you're able to go out there and make the right decision and not take those chances, especially at certain points in the game. And so just doing that and then going back to my reads and trying to be true to those and making sure my footwork's right in the pocket and I can just stay true to the reads.
And you suggested the other day that maybe everybody on offense is sort of feeling pressure with what's going on in defense to maybe score every time you get the ball, which I know you always try to do, but there necessarily hasn't been that urgency before. Is there anything to that? Do you feel like any more urgency than normal because of what's going on the defensive side of the ball?
Not at all. I mean, for us, like you said, I mean, we try to score every single time we touch the football. That's how it's been my entire career here. That's how it was. That was kind of the precedent that was set before I even started here. And that's kind of how I have my mindset going into every single game is that when we get an opportunity to go out there and have success and be successful, we have to capitalize that. And that has nothing to do with whatever's happening on the other side of the ball. It's just our job as an offense on this team.
Patrick, to Adam's point earlier, when you look at reevaluating yourself, is there much that you really have to change? I mean, you've been successful thus far in your career. Is there a lot that you have to change, or is there just like one certain thing?
Yeah, I think you just tinker with things here and there. I mean, you don't want to lose yourself. You don't want to lose the things that you've done so well, so long. But at the same time, I got to make sure that I'm firm with my fundamentals. I make sure that I stay within the pocket. And the same thing every year when you kind of see me get a little off, you got to go back to the basics and make sure I perfect those things. And then I think everything else will kind of come along with it.
Rob Parker has a history of writing columns criticizing Patrick Mahomes. He had a column that Mahomes will never win another Super Bowl for the rest of his career. And so he's taking that angle of being anti-Mahomes. And now he's declared Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert all better than Patrick Mahomes. And he said that Chiefs fans need to deal with it, face it, so. Deal with it, bro. In there.
How many Super Bowls has this guy been to? Combined.
What's that?
Those quarterbacks just named off. Combined. How many?
Herbert hasn't. I know. Lamar Jackson hasn't.
Nope.
Josh Allen. None?
None. No, okay. Yeah. So they're better. Yep. Right. How many? What about AFC championships? Any of those guys?
Josh Allen won. One.
Out of three?
Nope.
Okay.
So you resist that notion?
Yeah, strongly.
I don't know who this guy is.
I don't know. Maybe we should get him on the show.
I'd pass. I mean, he's been a writer for years and years. He was on ESPN for a while.
Who's he write for now?
Facebook.
This article. Yeah, Facebook. He writes for Twitter. Deadspin. I'm really not trying to get people to read his article. I'm just bringing up some of the dumb things that are being said. If I can get you.
Hey, I don't know that I need to read it.
No, he's allowed to have an opinion, even if it's wrong.
Right.
Well, is it one of those things where somebody, you know, hey, this will get some people's attention.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. He got suspended by ESPN for 30 days one time. Him. Yeah.
30 for 30? Okay.
You don't know him, do you?
I don't know him. Is he on FS1 now? I'm typing some guy named Rob Parker's on FS1.
No idea.
Peter Parker.
We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to Buster Olney and Adam Kaplan and Gary Lezak and Tim Grunhard and Kevin Ioli and Dion Clisso, all that and more coming up between now and 10 o'clock. I was able to enjoy a nice evening last night at girls' basketball practice, and then we watched a little Sophie Cunningham dropping buckets in the WNBA finals.
I was able to saw some of those highlights.
Right, I had to shut my phone off. Sorry. You should look guilty. You're to blame.
My fault. Too many tweets?
Text. You can tweet whatever you want. You guys wrap me up in that text chain that I can't get away from. And then I'm, you know, then the phone's like, brr, 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 brr,
brr. I only sent four texts yesterday.
What was the total?
Probably about 10.
Right. Lebo is participating, right. Is Sal. The best thing have ever not like restored, since I've been back from Colorado in February, I haven't turned the ringer on my phone and on or the notifications.
Here's my problem. Here's my issue with this. Why, maybe you could explain this to me, why... I'm an Android user, so I don't care. I'm an Android guy.
I know where you're going. I know exactly
why
where you're going.
Do I get these stupid text messages that says, emphasized, liked.
Because you're an Android guy.
Laughed. Like, I get, say someone's in a tweet, and then I get, Nate, emphasized. Here comes the booze.
Because there's options on an iPhone that you just, it's like Twitter. You can just put a heart, or you can put like a thumbs up.
But someone will, like someone will send a text, Sal laughed at that, you know, so I have, you know, it's...
So if you have an iPhone, it just, there's a little ha-ha that pops up instead of saying that whole thing. That you
Right. And so you know how that, you know how it comes across? And I don't know, like, I don't know, you know, but I was like...
And for the record, I did not start that text.
But you finished it.
I responded.
Like, what do I need? Lebo, why do I need a soccer ball and American flag? Todd, yes, we realized that the team was playing. That's all. I can't remove myself from that thread because sometimes the thread is useful. But it's just, you know.
When is that thread ever useful? No.
So then I responded with one simple tweet that got no response, but it was the best of that thread. And it was a video that someone put together of superheroes if they once they got old, if they were the Golden Girls with the theme. Did you not? That's what I was waiting for. I wanted you to see that.
If
the Golden Girls were Superman, Batman, Aquaman, and Robin, and they all live together down in Florida, and it's and it comes out in the song "Thank You for Being a Friend." Oh, he's watching. Look, let's see his live reaction.
Aquaman,
look, Aquaman is losing his hair because he's older. Batman has a gray mustache. Look when they start introducing everyone. The look on Aquaman's face. He's so happy to be with his friends there. That's what that text thread's good for.
Oh, and there's Robin.
Right, Robin comes in.
He's like, there's Robin.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet.
I laughed. I wouldn't say laugh. I said, I'm going to fire this off. You guys have been fired.
People have way too much time, but thank you.
Whoever did that is a genius.
That's gonna get
and then I thought that was like 9 years old to start circulating again on Twitter last night. Well, I'm going to send that to the boys.
Yep.
But retweet. At least the U.S. men's national team won.
Yeah, they got a big win.
Big one.
They were down early. They gave up a goal in the first minute.
Yeah, that was bad.
Screw you, Costa
but then
Rica.
They didn't panic. They didn't...
Say that again.
Screw you, Costa Rica.
Wow. I just wanted to be clear about that.
Costa Rican listeners are going to be upset by that.
Well, so then what happened? They didn't score again, did they?
No, they didn't. And the U.S. Scored twice. They won. They're in second place in the qualifying group, which is good. Six games in. So that would be more than enough to get
them. How many
them
more games?
So 8 games left in this qualifying.
How do you feel right now?
Great. I feel really good. Busio, by the way, got to play yesterday. Which was a big
step.
Yeah,
I know. I saw my text messages.
He played really well, too.
So, but are you like, is it?
Oh, I'm so excited about this team.
Is it smooth sailing from here to the World Cup?
It's not just a done deal, but the top three teams advance, and right now it's looking like the top three teams are kind of starting to separate themselves from the rest of the
Mexico,
pack.
The United States.
And Canada, which Canada's never been good before. But they're good.
If they make it, will a newspaper have the headline? Oh, Canada.
Probably.
Jake liked it. I mean,
we're going to the World Cup.
Would that be a surprise?
Well, I don't know that they've ever made the World Cup, but they have a really talented team. They're good. Like, they have a good team.
They're chronic underachievers.
Yeah. So
chronic.
They've never had this kind of talent, though. I mean, the most talented player in the entire region plays for Canada.
It's not a fluke right now that they're third. Mm-hmm. This could. Mm-hmm.
No, they have the best player in the region right now. It's crazy to say that, but it's true. So they're good. But Mexico's in first, but the U.S. is right behind them and still plays them twice in this qualifying. I'm very excited about this U.S. team. Young, maybe their two best players didn't play this past 3 days, and they still did well.
What about Canada, though?
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
America's hat.
Right. America's hat, ladies and gentlemen, as Navy King says, will be... Back after this on WHB. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Border Patrol. Thanks for watching on 38 The Spot. Remember, the first hour of the show is always simulcast on 38 The Spot. Coming up, we're going to have Buster Olney to talk about the playoffs. Playoffs? That's right. Game 5 between... the Giants and the Dodgers tonight, and then we will check in with Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider at 7:30, Gary Lezak, Tim Grunhardt, Kevin Ioli, and Dion Crisso between now and 10 o'clock. And we'll also throw in some more sound when Timmy's in here from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, who spoke to the media yesterday. So... we got that going for us. All right. Who you got in the American League?
Probably the Astros.
Do you want them to win or you think they're going to win?
I don't care. I don't really.
I want you to care about something.
I was thinking about this. Like the teams I was pulling for in this postseason
are gone.
So. I just want good games, I guess. I don't find the Red Sox or Astros particularly likable right now.
I like Kyle Schwarber. I like Schwarbs.
Go Astros.
Does it bother you that they're labeled as cheaters?
No, actually, it makes me like them.
So you like them more,
yeah.
Because they put in the extra effort to try to win.
You're not trying unless you're cheating.
Yeah, they're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Right, whatever it takes.
Yeah, a place in my heart for that.
About the Braves. Anybody rooting for the Braves here? Nothing?
Sure.
Dodgers.
I like Kevin Seitzer.
There you go. See? Find something. It's always better when you have some type of rooting interest. Jake. You're back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now with Buster Olney from ESPN talking baseball on Sports Radio 810 WHB.